ध्यायामोद्धवलावकुण्डनवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्टिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीमलसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम् Shankara continues the sadhana. The sadhana that a person has to do in order to gain abharubhavam, direct experience of the Atman, which is called Atmajnanam or realization. So the next sadhana that he is going to speak about is vision or drishti, proper vision. Or direct vision or concentration, focusing the vision, focusing one's eyes. So that is what he is going to speak about. And as we know, like focusing, like before entering into pranayamam, a person, a yogi, or a person who is following the yoga darshanam, he will be made to stare at objects in order to gain concentration. So the simplest way of trying to gain concentration, or the simplest thing that is done before doing pranayamam, is staring at the end of or the tip of one's nose. So one simple way is focus your eyes, without closing your eyelids, focus on the tip of your nose. Another thing that is commonly followed is have a candle or a lamp and then stare at the flame. So that is Nasa Agra Avalokanam or Nasa Agram. Nasam means Nasika or Nasam means nose. Agram means tip or end. Avalokanam means seeing. So Nasa Agra Avalokanam, seeing the tip of one's nose. So Shankara speaks about Vedantic sadhana or proper vision or focusing one's vision. Proper vision, these are different words, but he uses Shruti, one of the Upanishadic statement. The half Ardha Shlokam of a minor Upanishad to state what is Vedantic way of having the right vision. So it is quite different from like having a person see the tip of his nose. So the main reason why the tip of the nose is seen is in Yoga Darshanam is in order to gain focus. So trying to be able to concentrate on an entity. Once that is possible, then pranayamam, pratyaharam, dharana, dhyanam, etc. become very easy. In Vedantam, vision or firmness of vision, proper drishti, proper vision is possible only when we are focusing on the reality. Reality behind the illusory world. Seeing beyond the illusion is maintaining the right vision. And this is what Shankara, the next sadhana that Shankara is speaking. And he speaks it in the next two shlokas, 116th and 117th shloka. Drishtim jnanamayim kritva pashyet brahmamayam jagat sadrishti परमोधारा ननासाग्रावलोकिनी दृष्टदर्शन दृश्यानां विरामो यत्र वा भवेत् दृष्टिस्तत्रैव कर्तव्या ननासाग्रावलोकिनी. दो द पीडीएफ गिव्स दृष्टृ, I think the word, the apt word would be drishta, drishta, and means drishta or drishta. No, it's not drishta, it's drishta. So drishta darshana drishyana. So Shankara gives two meanings or two interpretations for firmness of vision or having the right vision. So the first one he gives is that drishtim jnanamayim kritva sa drishtihi parama udhara. That vision is supreme, paramam. It is ultimate. It is that which is to be sought out. So what is the difference between ultimate and sought out? Why is Shankara saying paramam? Why not say that this has to be sought? Paramam means the highest possible way of doing that particular sadhana. And the highest possible is that which we will seek. So everyone in the world wants to do thing which is the highest, which is the supreme. Though we may be able to get an object for $1 or $10, we would generally like to get $10, though that may be a bit higher on our finance. So we may not be financially able to support it, yet we will want to have that $10, the same item for $10 rather than $1. So paramam, ultimate or supreme, means that is what would be really sought by people. So if somebody is wanting to do firmness of vision, then he will go for the highest possible thing, highest possible way of doing that particular sadhana. So that drishti, that vision is highest, supreme. And nasa agra avalokini. So nasa agra avalokini drishtihi. That drishti in which a person focuses on the tip of one's nose, that is not supreme. The other drishti is supreme. What is the other drishti? Jnanamayim drishtim. So drishtim, vision. Jnanamayim kritva. When a person makes his vision, kritva, makes his vision. How does he make it? Like how or what does he make his vision? He makes his vision jnanamayim, filled with knowledge. That vision which has knowledge behind it. The vision of knowledge is the highest vision. And with vision of knowledge, what is vision of knowledge? With vision of knowledge, what will be perceived? Vision of knowledge is Pashye Brahmamayam Jagat. With vision of knowledge, a person Brahmamayam Jagat Pashye Jagat. Brahmamayam Pashye Jagat. With the vision of knowledge, a person Jagat Pashye perceives the world. How? Brahmamayam. He perceives the world as filled with Brahman. So vision of knowledge is perceiving the world as Brahman. Vision of knowledge is real vision. It is the vision of the substratum behind the illusion. So when a person gains vision of knowledge, then he sees the entire world as filled with Brahman. And that is the highest vision. That is supreme vision. And that vision wherein a person focuses on the tip of his nose, that is not supreme vision, because that will only gain control of the mind. Still we are in an illusion. So the highest vision possible is vision of knowledge, vision to pierce through the illusion, pierce through whatever illusion a person is perceiving and perceive its substratum. That is the highest wish possible vision. And that is the vision to be followed. So that is the sadhana. The sadhana, the next sadhana that Shankara is speaking in this and the next shloka is a person should always have the vision of knowledge. Even like other sadhanas of Yama, Niyama, etc., a person has to always have vision of knowledge. The advantage of vision of knowledge is everything will be seen as Brahman. When everything is seen as Brahman, there are no likes and dislikes. One side, there are no likes and dislikes, therefore there will be no sukha dukkham. And on the second side, we are viewing the world as Brahman. We are viewing everything as Brahman. Then that means the entire world is blissful. if entire world is blissful, then we also will be blissful because we are part of the world. Therefore, both ways, both sides, a person will end up with bliss or happiness if he maintains vision of knowledge. Moreover, with vision of knowledge, the illusion is overcome. That means ajnanam that veils a person, ajnanam that makes a person feel, think that the world is real, that ajnanam vanishes, and thereby a person is ever immersed in blissful atman. When ajnanam vanishes, then a person gains aparokshanubhavam. Aparokshanubhavam leads to dukkha nivritti and sukha prapti as per Vidyaranya. So that is the purpose of this particular sadhana. So Ramana Maharshi used to quote this particular, the Ardha Shlokam, the half of the shloka, which is from a Upanishad. So drishtim jnanamayim prutva pashyet brahmamayam jagat. And he used to say drishtim lokamayim prutva. And there are only two types of vision possible. One is vision of reality and one is vision of illusion. So when we are seeing, when we are viewing the rope, we can only have two vision. Either we see the rope or see the snake. So if we see the snake, it's a vision of illusion. If we see the rope, it is vision of knowledge. So vision of knowledge will lead to anandam, whereas vision of illusion will lead to sorrow. So the two visions that is possible is jnanamayim drishti, or vision of knowledge, and lokamayim drishti, drishti of the world, drishti, the vision of illusion, vision in which a person considers the world as real. So vision of knowledge, vision of ignorance, vision of knowledge and vision of the world, vision of Brahman and vision of the world. So jnanamayi drishti or ajnanamayi drishti, or it can be also termed as lokamayi drishti. So a person who is a sadhaka who is seeking anandam, a sadhaka who is seeking knowledge, he should always maintain vision of knowledge. How can I maintain vision of knowledge? I can maintain vision of knowledge by thinking, by knowing, by the intellectual conviction that everything is Brahman. As Shankara said earlier, that a person, a kulala, or like a goldsmith, though he may see various gold ornaments, intellectually he will convert all of them, remove the nama rupam and perceive them as gold. Similarly, the vision of knowledge is perceiving everything as the nama rupam and intellectually removing the nama rupam and perceiving them as Brahman. So it is like, then one may say, okay, externally I might see it. If I see externally, then I will get affected by it. So Vidyaranya, because of this, Vidyaranya says in the Panchadashi 4th chapter that the sorrow of Atah Sarvasya Jeevasya Bandhakrit Manasam Jagat. The sorrow for people in the world is not the world that is created by Ishvara. The illusory world created by Ishvara is not the cause of bondage, because Mahatmas like Ramana Maharshi, Amma, Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, etc., they experienced bliss in the world. They didn't feel sorrow in the world, whereas we feel sorrow in the world. So that means there is some problem with us, not with the world. So he proves through logic, Vidyaranya proves through logic that there is no problem with the world. The world, Ishvara's creation, is filled with Ishvara himself. So in the Upanishad, tat srishtva tadeva anupravishat. After creating it, Ishvara entered it himself. Paramatma dvayananda purna purvam swamaya swayameva jagat bhutva pravishat jiva rupatah. Paramatma was advayam, advaya anandam, ananda swarupam and advaitiya brahman. Then swayameva jagat bhutva, he himself became the world, and pravishat jiva rupatah, he entered it in the form of the jiva. That means the entire world is filled with Ishvara alone. The world, jiva, the three parts of the analysis of Vedantam, which is Isha, Jiva, Jagat, Ishvara, Jiva and Jagat, all are Ishvara, all are Brahman alone. Then everything has to be blissful. Then The problem is with our mind. When we see an entity, we get affected by things we like or dislike. We are not affected when tsunami hit. Like when tsunami struck and the entire world was brooding, we may have been happy. We may have not been affected by it because there was nobody who was our friend or relative who was afflicted or affected by tsunami. On the contrary, if one of our friend like meets with an accident, then we'll become very sad. Just after tsunami hit, like one of my project mate in Chennai, like he met with an accident and the entire project, people in the project started brooding. They were saying, oh, he was a poor guy, he's a good guy, he got affected. That was just weeks after tsunami hit. So one of the person I asked, like, why is it that you are getting so much affected now? Like couple of weeks before tsunami hit, thousands or millions of people, yet you were not affected. But when your friend gets like meet with a small accident, then you become so affected. So that's the nature of the mind. So it is not, that means it's not the external world that is causing sorrow, but it is our creation of the external world that causes sorrow. Ishvara's creation is perfectly experienced while we are in deep sleep. And when we are realized, or when we are in deep sleep, both of the state, that's when we perceive Ishvara's creation as such. That is when we experience bliss. So there is no sorrow in Ishvara's creation. It is our perception, our mental world that we create out of Ishvara's creation. So when Ishvara's creation passes through our mind, we create a notion, we create a perception, we create our own world. That is what causes problem. When we see somebody in front of us, if we were able to accept him or her in the way they are, then we will not be affected. It is when we consider them, oh, it is my friend, he should smile at me, he shouldn't laugh at me, he shouldn't stare at me, that's when the problem starts. So it is our mental creation which causes problem. It's not external creation. And mental creation, that means sorrow is not in the external world but in our mind or intellect, all are parts of antakarnam. So when a person who has vision of knowledge, he controls the mind. So his mind transforms everything into one object, one blissful Brahman. Therefore, there is no scope for sorrow. Therefore, when there is vision of knowledge, then intellectually a person will be always happy. So there is either the vision of knowledge or vision of ignorance. There is either jnana drishti or loka drishti. In loka drishti, you will end up in sorrow because nama rupam is seen. The moment nama rupam is acknowledged, then it causes bedam, or that bedam causes like and dislike, then finally leads to raga dvesham and sukha dukkham. Whereas with vision of knowledge, a person would see everything as Brahman. Brahmamayam jagat. Pashyet Brahmamayam jagat. A person who has vision of knowledge would see everything as Brahman. When he sees everything as Brahman, then there is no scope for sorrow. Such a person will never suffer. And that is the right vision. That is the right vision to be followed. So vision of knowledge, or firmness of vision, or right vision, that vision which will lead us to concentration, that vision which will lead us to anandam, that vision which will lead to Purusha being liberated, that is Jnanamayi Drishti. And that is seeing the entire world as filled with Brahman, seeing the world or knowing the world as Brahman. So people might ask that, okay, seeing the world as Brahman, how can I see the world as Brahman? Is it something like I am seeing now? Will I see everything as filled with, like, in red color? If I put a red speck, then I see everything as red. Is it similar like that? So people might say, okay, Swami Vivekananda has said that, like, when Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa touched him on the head, he saw everything as Brahman. He saw only Brahman everywhere. He said, that vision, you can never have that vision. If a person says to you that you will gain, you will see everything as Brahman, and if that person claims that the sentence is literally true, then you can outright reject it, because it's not possible. If the world itself means it is Namarupam, Namarupam, wherever Namarupam is there, you cannot see the object. So a goldsmith cannot see gold ornaments as gold. Then what do we mean by saying that the goldsmith sees them as gold? It only means that he sees them as Namarupam, but in his mind he transforms them into gold. So it is impossible to see Brahman everywhere. You cannot see Brahman here, Brahman there, Brahman right, Brahman left and all. You can never see that. That itself means like what? If you see left, if you see right, if you see top and all, that means you are seeing Dvaitam. If Dvaitam is there, then there is no Brahman, because Dvaitam is Namarupam, Brahman is Advitiyam. Then what does Vedanta or what does Mundaka Upanishad mean when it says that Adashchurdvam cha prasidam brahmaividam vishvamidam varishtam, when it says that Brahman is right, Brahman is left, Brahman is top, Brahman is bottom and all, what does it mean? Brahman is front. Brahmaividam amritam purastad brahma paschad brahma dakshinadashchuttarena. So what does the Shruti means? Is it wrong? No. But as Shankara explained earlier, it is only vision of knowledge. That means everything is seen as such, but when it gets transformed, when it gets translated by the intellect or the mind, then it becomes Brahman. So externally everything is seen as Namarupam, externally everything is acknowledged as Namarupam, externally things are dual, externally things are different, yet internally in the mind, when it passes through the mind, then there is a filter applied. Even as various antivirus, like antivirus softwares like Norton Antivirus or McAfee or PC Cylon, all those virus software, when a person views a site, it screens. So it screens and filters things. So if something is not right, something is not appropriate, like parental lock on TVs, like if something is inappropriate, then it will show a message. It will transform that message. It's easier to understand if we take the analogy of internet. So any site that you access, the final output that you see is a HTML, because the browser or that particular software in through which we access web pages, access websites, understands only one language, which is HTML. So XML is a specific form of HTML. So HTML, that is what is XML. But the browser, ultimately the browser understands only HTML. Even if you send a JPEG file, even if you send like a MP3 file, even if you send huge amount of data like from the database, or huge amount of data that cannot be interpreted properly, yet browser understands only HTML. It converts, it transforms everything into HTML. So even as the browser, whatever be the input to the browser, the output of the browser is always HTML. Similarly, with vision of knowledge, whatever be the input to the mind will transform it into Brahman. Oh, if mind transforms it into Brahman, then such a person will cannot act in the world. He will go into the forest and meditate. Because if the mind converts, transforms everything into Brahman, then such a person should not have any dvesham. If he shouldn't have any dvesham, then he will not have any ahankaram as well. So if he doesn't have dvesham and ahankaram, then I can go and hit him. Then I can take his possessions. Because he doesn't need them. Because internally for him it's the same. Even if I take his possession, even if I beat him, everything goes into the mind as Brahman. So what's the matter? If somebody argues like that is called Virandavadam. So, nowhere in the scripture it is said that a person should not react to the world. So you must react to the world. So the mind, beyond the mind, everything is Brahman. That doesn't mean from the mind it need not be Brahman. So it doesn't mean from the mind, whatever comes out of the mind, it has to be Brahman. Beyond the mind, everything is Brahman. So from the mind to the world, it can be anything. So it's like telling that I have a veil behind me. So I am standing behind a veil. But whatever passes through the veil, that can be different. Yet only I will be there beyond the veil. So anything and everything can cross the veil, come out of the veil. I can pass things out of the veil, yet beyond the veil there is only one thing. So it's like telling browser can transmit any data. Just because it interprets HTML doesn't mean that it cannot transmit data. It can transmit, but only that when it comes to the browser, while going from the browser, while coming back to the browser, it will be one HTML alone. But in between, it can get transformed or converted. So from the mind, beyond the mind, everything will be Brahman. But from the mind level, everything can get converted. So remembering that everything is Brahman. So somebody comes to the Jnani and slaps him. So somebody comes to the Jnani and slaps him. The Jnani internally, Jnani's mind converts it into Brahman. And so the mind is unaffected because beyond the mind it has got transformed or converted into Brahman. He sees Brahman as slapping Brahman, Brahman as doing the action of slapping to Brahman. But then he needs to react. At the worldly level, he has to react. So what does he do? He slaps again. He slaps back. So in his mind, internally, the action initially caused was Brahman doing the action of Brahman, which equivalent to slapping Brahman, and the other reaction also was the same thing. So internally, the Jnani perceives everything as Brahman. Externally, he may do things. So if somebody goes and attacks the Jnani, then he will become angry. He will scold him. He will try to beat him as well. He will do all those things. Just because he is a Jnani, just because he has Jnanamayim Drishtim, that doesn't mean that he'll not react to the world. Because at the world level, same applies. Like the reason why a person cannot see everything as Brahman. Literally, the sentence is wrong. I see the world as Brahman. Literally, it's wrong because we cannot see Brahman in the world. Similarly, in the world, whatever activities are happening, whether it is from a Jnani or an Ajnani, it has to be based on Dvaitam. But whether that Dvaitam really affects the person doing the action is dependent on Jnanam. So for a Jnani, his mind reacts to activities, though beyond the mind it gets transformed into Brahman. That means the Jnani is not affected. He does it as an action. He does it as a play. So he is not really affected, whereas the Ajnani becomes affected. So go and slap an Ajnani, he will become offended. He'll even sue you if it is in America, though in India it's not possible. But there are countries like America and other places where you can sue a person if he hits you. So it's like prohibition of law or whatever it is. But a jnani, so a jnani might get offended and go to extreme, like go to the extreme possible state to get revenge. Whereas a jnani will react immediately, react or respond immediately and forget it. So though he may get offended and beat the person, the very next moment, that very moment, like when he is reacting as well, internally he is unaffected because he knows that everything is Brahman. So beyond the mind, everything is Brahman for a jnani. And from the mind to the worldly level, through the sense organs and other things, the jnani is same as ajnani. The difference is only the transformation that happens at the mind level. So at the mind or the intellect level, the antakaranam of a jnani has the jnanamayi drishti. Because of the jnanamayi drishti, everything is seen as Brahman. Even while doing action, even while being like subject to an action of another person, like slapping or attacking and all, that is also transformed into Brahman. Everything is seen as Brahman, and the reaction to actions also is seen as Brahman at the mental, at the intellectual level, and beyond. And from the mind to the world, it will be the same as a ajnani. So it is only intellectual conviction, intellectually transforming. So we should always remember that, else it will seem as if, oh, when this guy is speaking, it seems so clear. It seems very clear. I'm so clear. I can follow it anytime. I can follow it each and every moment. I can have jnanamayim drishti. And all of a sudden, somebody might come and ask you, oh, what are you doing? I'm following jnanamayim drishti. What is that? Seeing everything as Brahman. Oh, do you see the entire world as Brahman? No, I haven't reached that state. Oh, then it's useless. You've been doing it since 1 year, 2 years. Why waste such time? Come with me. We can go party and we can gain bliss in an easy way than following all those and not getting it. So it will lead to more trouble, it will lead to doubt, and it will make a person go against this philosophy itself. Such people will turn from Ishvara Vadin to Nirishvara Vadins. They will go against Vedantam. So we have to understand or interpret these things in the right way. So it's only intellectual vision, it's not external vision. Externally vision always will be Dvaitam, but internally is what really matters, because it is the mind, it's internal vision, internal attitude which causes sorrow and not external objects. We'll continue with the second shloka, where Shankara gives a alternative interpretation of drishti or firmness of vision. One is jnanamayi drishti, seeing everything as Brahman. The next he says in the next shloka, which we'll see tomorrow. Hari Om.